Thanks, Ellen. Thanks all for coming. Boy, there's plenty of space in the front here. We don't bite too much. This presentation is actually definitely a very much of a joint project. And as you'll see from a five-minute video that we're going to do to start it off, Eric is the brains behind this.
The initiator.
But it was definitely a very collaborative project. And we're hoping to expand that collaboration to all you guys in that we're going to have a survey that's part of the talk. Do you want to add something, Eric?
Yeah, basically what we're trying to do here is both convey some ideas that are sort of technical, but also a little bit of a different approach to presenting, where we show you something in a very short period, you think about it while you're watching it, and then we have a lot of time for interaction. So let's find our mouse.
Hello, Michelle.
Hey, Michelle, how you doing, man?
Hey, Eric. Good to hear from you. I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Hey, you got a minute?
Yeah, sure. What's up?
Well, hey, the reason I was calling was I wanted to talk to you about a concern I've got with some stuff I see in the literature that's comparing organic versus conventional ag.
What do you mean?
Well, the other day I came across this organic versus conventional comparison paper that's focused on soil microbiology. At first it seemed really interesting because soil microbiology is a really important part of soil management. But the organic versus conventional comparison was completely meaningless because there's no information on the management practices that were used in either the organic or the conventional plots. You know, this isn't the first time I've seen this type of thing being left out of a paper.
Yeah, I've seen that too. You know, I often make organic versus conventional comparisons from our long-term farming systems project. But what I try to do is always be very specific about how we manage the various systems so that the leader can understand what factors are leading to the differences we see.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, in our long-term trial, we've got 8 different organic systems. Some of them are what I'd call well-managed organic systems, you know, with frequent cover crops between our vegetables. And other systems are real duds. They're fallow most winters. They have really low vegetable yields, and they've got terrible soil quality. But they're all certified organic.
Yeah, I know. Your experiment is a great illustration of that point, that not all organic systems are equal. You know, not all conventional systems are the same either. For example, conventional no-till versus conventional tilled systems can be very different in terms of soil quality. I think it's important to emphasize how much diversity there is in organic and conventional systems. The details are everything.
You're right. You know what this actually makes me think?
Uh-oh. What's that?
Well, I think this year when we go to the agronomy meeting in Long, I think we ought to give a presentation where we highlight some of the problems with making organic versus conventional comparisons.
Hey, that's a good idea. We could use our experience managing the long-term systems studies in California and Maryland to highlight why the details are important.
That's a great idea. So you know, what do you think our take-home message would be?
Let me see. First, we should probably acknowledge that we're not the first to make this point. And secondly, stress that researchers need to be very careful to provide enough details on specific management practices within both organic and conventional systems.
So what type of specifics do you think should always be provided? I'll start writing them down as we list them.
Soil type.
That sounds good. Probably crop rotation.
Yeah, crop rotation for sure. What kind of fertilizer inputs, especially if they're animal manures or otherwise?
Probably irrigation management. That's critical in California.
Yeah, irrigation can be important in Maryland too.
How about tillage?
Yeah, that's a good start. You know, an associated issue is that sometimes differences between conventional and organic systems are just due to specific management practices, like whether a cover crop is used or not in one system and not the other.
That's right. I mean, that's like in our long-term trial, whether or not a cover crop is used or not is really the defining difference between our good and our bad systems. You know what I was thinking, Michelle, is we could actually take our presentation a step further at this, if we do this at this conference, and we could do it by video, and then we could leave a lot of time, you know, to discuss, kind of get feedback from the audience and see what they thought about this issue.
Yeah, I guess that might work. It is, after all, an organic group. Who knows? Maybe it'll help our colleagues remember why these comparisons are a devil without details.
I think that's a good idea, because, you know, people like to watch videos.
Yeah. Also, didn't you tell me that a scientist that's become a filmmaker is the closing keynote speaker at this conference?
Oh, yeah. That's, what's his name? Randy Olson. He wrote a really interesting book called Don't Be Such a Scientist. You know, it's about how to do a better job of communicating their science.
And making a fun video should be a good way to do that.
You bet, man. Hey, look out, Hollywood. Here comes the scientist.
So there you go.
Sorry, guys.
So what we're trying to do, such as it is to stimulate discussion. So one thing we're going to do is ask you guys if this is an issue that has concerned any of you in terms of making comparisons between organic and conventional and better understanding why there's differences. And Eric right now is handing out a survey that we put together that we're hoping you have time to fill out as we're having the discussion, trying to identify if you agree with this idea that we need to have a better characterization of the cropping systems when we do these types of comparisons. What factors should we be really asking people to include in the papers? That's what the survey is about. The discussion's about whatever you guys want to make it about. So I see someone's got a microphone in hand already, so go for it.
I love that video approach, and I think that's a good start to making some sort of a database for tagging different studies so that we could make it easier to compare across all different systems. Maybe just starting with organic, categorizing things with those. I don't know who would be volunteering to make this database, but it would be a great tool, I think.
Well, maybe that's an outcome of this talk, is to begin putting that database together. I'm going to have a follow-up question for you, actually, person who's sitting down. What's your name? Kate. What do you think this database would include, then? Can I ask you? Can I throw the question back at you?
Yeah, you just did a really good job of saying it should have soil type, tillage method, kind of fertilizers as a start.
So take a look on the survey that we passed out. We have a few more categories of items that we kind of brainstormed during the last couple of days. I don't think we captured everything necessarily. If you think of something, let us know.
Thanks, Eric and Michelle. So working in extension, I often get a lot of questions from the media about how to interpret these comparisons in the long-term systems experiments and what relevance that bears for farmers in the community. And one of the things I've noticed is that, by necessity, the long-term experiments choose discrete systems that often don't necessarily line up with common management practices on farms. So, for example, in Pennsylvania and a lot of other areas of the Mid-Atlantic, conventional farms still have a lot of organic inputs from manures that are derived from livestock operations. And oftentimes, though, the conventional systems in the research station experiments rely exclusively on inorganic fertilizers, and so it's hard to...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
...take that result and extrapolate it to farms. So I guess my thought is I'd like to see the scientific community move more on to studying commercial farms and how those systems are evolving in their characteristics. And I think the other thing also would be to maybe do research that doesn't express things as discrete differences or discrete categories, but maybe evaluate things on continuous gradients. So express things based on carbon input, per system, and see if based on equivalent levels of carbon inputs, do organic and conventional systems diverge, or numbers of tillage events, or things like that.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that's a great comment. I think that gets at more what the physical factors are that are leading to any of these differences, those kind of gradients.
One thing that I was thinking of is I agree that it's really valuable to actually document what all of the differences between the conventional and organic systems are, but it also seems like, a lot of the time the reason why you would do an organic conventional comparison is to be a decision-making information for somebody. And what would be relevant variables in that would really depend on who is having to make the decision. And so, if it's a decision for a grower, you would want systems that sort of replicate what's being done conventionally in the area and what neighboring organic farms do, so that you're sort of, because the question being asked is, like, for a grower facing the decision of transitioning, what would it look like for them? Whereas it might be a really different question if the decision makers are, say, regulators, and the question is, under the organic standards, if we make the minimal changes necessary to meet the standards, what does that mean? Versus, a consumer might want to know, if there's two packets of oatmeal on the shelf, the comparison that's relevant for them is the systems that were actually used, to produce a typical commercial packet that they might see in the grocery store. So it seems like one of the big differences isn't necessarily, what's documented is, documenting is really important, but the big question of what variables have to be held constant to make a comparison meaningful.
That's interesting. Both of you have made comments that refer to the audience you're talking to as part of your comments, where, I'm sorry, I can't remember your name, made a comment that the media is important, and you're commenting that there's all kinds of other audiences too, and that could make a difference.
Yeah, I think inherently systems experiments are really difficult to compare, and I can see the usefulness of comparing organic and conventional, but also I feel like, unfortunately, the narrative of the scientific community still dominates. That dominates is still comparing organic and conventional. Where the public, I feel like that's what the public wants to know. But maybe when we're doing our comparisons, it's important to have these, look at these two systems, but not make that dominate the narrative. And how, in terms of way we're designing our experiments, and also how we're disseminating this information as well. They're so different. Hard to make these comparisons, and as you illustrated in the video, there's a wide spectrum of conventional systems and organic systems, and both have their place, and it shouldn't be so polarizing.
Who's next? Sorry, who's next?
Yeah, I think obviously, you've got to support the more details, the better, that's supplied in these comparisons. And we still need to use terms like conventional and organic. But I find, certainly in the work I've done, a lot of it's really best management practices that can be common to both, and that's really the way you need to sort of break it apart. And the some of these best management practices are more commonly found in organic, but they're not unique to organic. But beyond that, I still kind of struggle with the spectrum within different organic sectors. And some of that's been talked about this morning, the range of intensity of in production, and how would you end up with some, within each sector, whatever that sector is in organic, whether it's vegetables or dairy or anything else, what is that range of intensity? Can we start categorizing that range of intensity of production and come up with useful definitions around that range of intensity? And that's a more interesting comparison in a way than organic and conventional.
And Derek was part of the 2-day organic symposium that we had earlier that was held earlier, and he made kind of the same point we made. A lot of people made that same point at that International Organic Symposium. So it's, this dialogue is going on. So it's very exciting to be part of it.
Michelle, you know, a bunch of these questions that have just been asked have all kind of targeted a specific point around these comparisons, and I guess I would just reverse the question. I mean, how important is it for us to still be doing these organic and conventional comparisons, or should the emphasis really be around how do we just continuously improve the performance within the organic systems when we're working on organic research, or improve the performance within the conventional systems when we're working in the conventional systems? I guess, what is your opinion on how critical are these trade-off experiments to continuously to test, or rather than just focusing on the how to make those systems work better within their own right?
As you know, I have a strong bias towards doing these comparisons. yeah, that's a very good question. As someone commented earlier, there is an audience that is interested in these comparisons, and some of that does come down to the policy folks. And I think for some of that, it does make a difference. At the same time, as you know, Stephen and I work together very closely, and both on the long-term cropping systems trial that we have that does these comparisons and on looking at trying to improve these systems. One thing that the long-term systems do help us do, though, is measure things that you cannot measure in the short term, right? But one thing that you can also do with these long-term systems is that you can adapt them as you go along, and or what we've been doing a lot of, which can be challenging, is to put microplots in those long-term experiments so that you can benefit from the legacy of the different treatment and see how, say, adding poultry litter in our conventional systems, which we don't have, but a lot of conventional farmers in Maryland do that, how poultry litter additions affect, say, soil carbon, an important factor. So that's the approach I'm taking, is kind of these microplot approach within the long-term comparison. Because I still think the long-term comparisons are important in terms of maintaining of understanding long-term changes. But my point, I guess, with this, and I think Eric would agree, is that we can't just say, oh, organic has more soil carbon sequestration than conventional based on this one study, right? We can say, if you use poultry litter in your organic and you don't in your conventional, organic's going to have higher carbon stocks, not even necessarily sequestration. So our point, I think, is to be more careful in when you do these comparisons in how you interpret the results. Because we have gotten in trouble by not doing that, I guess. Yeah, they moved it downstairs.
Okay.
Paul.
My name is Paul Mäder from Switzerland. I work in long-term experiments system comparisons in 27 years. Well, I think it's really decisive what target you have. Do you try to mimic real occurring farming systems? Then, of course, you have to integrate all these relevant factors. It's no doubt that we need all this detailed information. Or is your aim to develop more sustainable, more eco-functional farming systems? And then it's a developing aspect. In my personal view, the proof of concept of organic farming for such a purpose, organic and conventional farming system comparisons are still useful, and in particular to understand underlying processes in P, N, C, cycling, and so on, and to understand soil functions. And, well, as you mentioned, this value to integrate additional factors such as variety testing or to assess new techniques like no-till, the use of GMO, for instance, the use of biocontrol within these long-term trials may be an additional benefit. And of course, they may be a useful basis to for policy advice, for subsidies of various farming systems.
Ellen, did you say that had to be the last question?